Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are going to continue our discussion of supernatural means of divine guidance and looking at how to approach and learn these supernatural divine means of divine guidance. And that's, we're distinguishing the supernatural means versus the internal means. When God directs and guides and leads and instructs us personally, one-on-one, basically internally. And then there's the supernatural means, and those are basically from an outside, an external leading and guiding and directing. Now, we've talked at great length about how he has historically communicated with his people, which are all people, and how he has made himself known, revealed himself, and even given specific guidance and direction at times and to in different situations. And we've compared and contrasted that with how he does that for us as spirit beings. And again, by spirit being, I mean simply that we have been reborn in our spirit, that we were born into this earth as the genetic children of Adam and Eve who died in the garden, who lost their spirit life in the garden. You and I, through Christ, now have a new spirit. And through that spirit, because that spirit is the very stuff of what God is, we now have those qualities and characteristics and access to the very eternal life, but only in our spirit. But in our soul, we are still, there was no magic switch that got flipped when we became a spirit being. We have the same history, we have wounds. Very often, at the time of our change, salvation, our rebirth, God very often does change things. He will heal our wounds, he will change our minds, he will reveal himself. But that is a very personalized approach that he takes, and he reserves the right to do that. And that is not in any way how your salvation experience, what you experienced when God revealed himself to you, is in no way a reflection of the degree of your salvation. In other words, if God just sovereignly, even unemotionally, reveals himself, and you understand your need and how he fulfilled that need through Jesus, through the Son coming and standing in your stead to pay for those sins, so that those sins are then forgiven and you now are able to be reborn, and you accept that rebirth. Sometimes that can be almost a non-event, very practical and very, nonsensical, very unemotional. And yet other times there can be an extreme emotional response or healing or outpouring or inpouring. And either way, whichever realm and whatever experience you may have had, none of those are a reflection on the degree or the level of relationship that you now have with God. Somebody can't be more saved than somebody else. And this is where words mean things. We are all of us who have been born again, are equally spiritual. There are only two kinds of spirit in this world outside of God. People are either dead in their spirit or alive in their spirit. There's no a little alive or little dead or medium in between. There's no different levels of spirit being. You are either dead in your spirit, totally separated from God, or you are one with Him in your spirit. That's it. So when we talk about relationship with God, we want to release the pressure that we often feel about having a spiritual relationship with God, that we're trying to work on that, that we're trying to achieve something that God has already given you. You don't need to do anything. It was already done 2,000 years ago, and you now receive what was already laid out for you. When you accept that new life, it's eternal life. It's not just longer or a better quality. It is the eternal life of God that you receive. So our approach to learning about the supernatural realm is in part to overcome our getting caught up in the function of the solical realm, the supernatural realm. There's a simplicity in knowing God that when we look at that his goal is to break down the barriers between our soul and our spirit. Because our spirit is already fully united with God. The goal now is that our soul be fully united with our spirit. As we talked past couple weeks, our soul very often doesn't want to do that. Because our soul, for all that time that it was on its own, developed its own way of doing things and doesn't want to give those up. But God wanting what is best for us and our spirit wanting what is best for us in our entirety, spirit, soul, and body, will not allow the soul to continue to live deluded, thinking that this is life, that the life that the soul provides is really life, because it's not. And it will never meet our needs, our true needs. So our soul is in the part of what God does is it dries up those things that used to work, that used to get us by, so that we will turn and accept the life that He has for us, which is eternal life. On His terms. So we're not learning about the supernatural realm to accomplish a purpose, to bless or honor God, but simply because this is part of the supernatural realm, is where we are already functioning. And the more we treat it with our eyes wide open, with reality, with realistic experience, it loses a lot of the myth and the fear and or even enticements. And we learn to live as a spirit being that has authority over the supernatural realm. It's not that we do things the way we want them, because that's often an expression of our soul, but we are becoming one, our soul is becoming one with our spirit, which becomes an outflow of the perfect expression of who God is and what God wants for us. That you have not been this way before. One of the reasons this is so hard to understand is that it's not something we've tried before. It's like if I was to try to explain to you what chocolate ice cream tasted like. I could describe it and give you all kind of analogies and try to relate it to something you have in your experience. But until you taste chocolate ice cream for yourself, you're not going to know what chocolate ice cream tastes like. So one of the reasons God brings us to the training of learning about the supernatural realm is so that we will learn for ourselves. We will taste and see how the Lord is good in the supernatural realm and how he works, what authority we have, what are the laws of the supernatural realm, what is going on, where is the warfare, how does history work, how are we wounded in our soul, how do we overcome that, how are we healed, whatever it is the Lord wants us to learn. We have to learn it by experience. Very often we try to learn it by relying on our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. We try to perform. We try to get educated. We try to get other people's experience or to try to get just an emotional experience. And we try to maintain a level of control over our experiences. And yet God knows what's best for you. Your spirit knows what's best for you. And very often, what is revealed during our training, not just in this area, but all across the board, what is revealed is how cautious we are in trusting God. How we often find it difficult to let him be the God. And very often that's based on a question that we have. For instance, does God really love me? And that can come from a variety of different sources. It can be, well, I have this in my past. You know, how can he forgive this? Or a big thing is very, very common is, yes, I know he loves me, I know he forgave me, but I've missed him in this area. And so I can never achieve what he called me to achieve. I've lost my calling. I've missed it. I've missed my purpose. And so I've disappointed him. So even though he loves me, I've missed out on what I could have had. And when we remember that the purposes of the devil are to lie, to steal, to cheat, to destroy, that thinking is very clearly not from God. Now, those lies are very common because those elements of our soul are very common. And we won't go too far into that, but those are the lies that God wants to talk to you about. It's not just about becoming gifted in the supernatural or receiving healing in your soul. It's about whatever God wants to deal with. And again, he may say, now is not the time I want to talk to you about this. I've got other things I want to address. You go with that, limiting or directing God with, okay, this is what I want to learn. This is what I need to be instructed in. I want to know about this. Now, very often, however, having an interest means that God does want to talk to you about it. But remember that the ultimate purpose is not so you can fulfill your calling, because you've already done that. Not that you can fulfill a purpose, because you've already done that. Not that you can glorify God, because you've already done that. That's done. Put a check mark next to each one of those. No, the goal now is for your soul to be one with your spirit. And then your body will follow along. What did Jesus pray to the Father? Father, that they may be one, even as we are one. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit were one. God wants us to be one, spirit, soul, and body, whole, complete, and entire. So we've been talking about the different elements, and these are just a few, the different supernatural means of his making himself known, providing guidance and direction and instruction. We've pretty much determined that most of the time it's just he uses signs and angels and supernatural events simply as a means to get our attention. And so just as we don't want to draw conclusions about our salvation experience, about whether we were not saved to the entirety because we didn't have much of an experience or it wasn't very emotional, or vice versa, it was really a huge high impact, that must mean we were really saved. No, we don't want to draw that conclusion at all. At the same way as we don't want to draw conclusions as to the whether it's a spectacular sign or a subtle sign, or whether he's tapping lightly on our door, or whether he's banging on it with his whole might. The whole point being that what is our response? You open the door. That's what matters. It's not how hard he's having to get in, to try to get in, to get our attention, but what is our response? You open the door. Very simple. And that's part of the whole thing we want to remember, is it's very simple. So last week we spent a lot of time talking about fleecing. And what I want to remind you about, come away from that discussion with remembering that fleecing was not about direction. Gideon already knew very clearly and confidently what God wanted him to do. He just needed encouragement. So God encouraged him. That's it. But we don't want to start thinking that we don't want to start relying on methods over relationship. So give God opportunity to look, to show you any area where you have a method of getting instruction from him that he may want to talk to you about. And that finally, that brings us to a very broad category, and that's just dreams, visions, trances, and open visions. These are all terms that describe a few of the ways the Lord communicates to our consciousness, our soul, through our developing senses. And that means we're in process. And we're each in a unique place, and God knows exactly where you're at. But because we are not used to functioning through these solical senses, our solical senses perceive the supernatural realm. Our perception of these experiences mark what is going on. Even as we speak, there are supernatural experiences going on around you, but you're not perceiving them. As you start to perceive them, because you have not perceived them, you will see them as unusual. And hopefully over time, you'll get over that. And they will become the norm. Because, again, they're already going on around you. So as the Lord quickens our senses, and we more readily experience and respond appropriately to the activities, to what's going on in the supernatural realm, we recognize that there are very few limits to the ways the Lord may choose to provide guidance. He has so many ways available to him to reveal himself to us. Because we are becoming confident in our relationship with God, in our ability to hear him and have confidence that we're hearing him clearly, we can now ask God for experiences. We can make ourselves available on his terms. They can ask him, Lord, is there anything I need to do to qualify? Any wounds that need to be healed? Any beliefs that need to be healed? Am I waiting for you, on you, with you enough where you are able to sharpen my senses? Is there anything else I need to do to be able to experience what you want me to experience? And then we're patient and persistent toward those things that he uses to draw us. As with, again, this is just our training, we are free to make mistakes as part of the process. And as with just about any part of our life, we will often learn more through mistakes than any other way. And what's a mistake? Well, we think we hear from God when it really isn't him, when it's the enemy or our soul, our own mind. Or we did hear him and thought we didn't. Or we misinterpret. There's so many different ways we can, quote unquote, make a mistake. But from God's perspective, you can already check the box that you're, because you are becoming engaged in your training, that's the big one. You've already gotten an A+ because you're showing up for class. However many times you need to go through the class is irrelevant. But you're showing up. That's what matters. That means you are available to him and responsive. And however he knows what you need, he knows where you're at, he He knows what instruction and instructor you need. So put yourself in his hands. It's not the hands of me or anybody else, but you're in his hands. And you will learn to trust him by trusting him, by experience. It's not something, this is where we get caught up with the whole faith thing, that we do things by faith when we really need to do things by experience. God wants us to be objective about knowing him. And part of this is understanding how he communicates. And we can only learn that by communicating with him, by spending time waiting with him and on him and for him and letting him reveal himself. Now, I'm sure all of us have been to conferences, ministry conferences, and have the tapes and the different opportunities and training and ministries out there on dreams and how to have dreams, how to interpret them, how to have visions, how to interpret them. And we have a real sense that people who have these are somehow closer to God or more special. And yet, what do we want from those things, from dreams and visions and trances and open visions? We want to hear from God. So if God chooses to use those ways, great. But if not, equally great. If he just wants to say, this is what I want you to do, and we hear that and we know that that's him and we test it and we do it, that's just as fantastic as having a vision of the third heaven or whatever you want to call it, and go through the whole process of getting it interpreted and hopefully wind up the same place. However God chooses to reveal himself, that's, we open the door. Doesn't matter how he's knocking, we open the door. And a part of our problem is so many of us have been to these conferences and read these books and are aware of these ministries, that the emphasis is on interpreting out of our soul rather than learning to hear him. That when we ask God for a dream and we have a dream and then we assume it's from God, we don't know how to test it. We don't know how to interpret it by asking. Instead, we get out our book, Signs and Symbols from the Scriptures, or we go to our dream team and ask them to interpret and help me figure out what this means, what this symbol means. Then this is the dream. Help me interpret it. So we, in our endeavor to hear him, we strengthen our flesh, our own strength, our own way of doing things. So we struggle with this, how do we do this, when it's the simplicity of opening the door. When he knocks, open the door, ask, Lord, is this you? Learn to test it. And then don't be afraid of getting it wrong. So we learn new habits of depending on him for interpretation, for confirmation, remembering that even these supernatural experiences can be duplicated by the power of our soul or our enemies or by the power of the world, the power of his suggestion, for instance. So we habitually test these manifestations. And yet we're careful not to restrict the way the Lord chooses to guide us. Finally, it's not all that important though it can be interesting and fun, to delineate the differences between dreams, visions, trances, and open visions. The important thing is that we realize that God's main goal is in getting our attention, to respond back to Him, to open the door, rather than to rely on our own or another's ability to interpret and apply what is being conveyed. These manifestations are no more significant, they carry no more weight than any other means the Lord may use. But because He wants us to be able to follow wherever He leads, and because He enjoys sharing His creativity with us, it is appropriate to ask to be trained in all these areas according to His timing. So, thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions or feedback or experiences you'd like to share, get in touch with me at diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.